cutting edge guests, awesome uncensored jaw-dropping information, plus funny memes, good deeds, and loads of laughter. Kind of have it all. Ladies and gentlemen, if your soul's awake, then welcome, because you're in the right place.
You're going to be able to get your vaccine as soon as you turn five. And I know you're excited and I know you're eager. In some places across the country, you can even start making your appointment now for shortly after your birthday.
Putin pretends to be powerful, but truly strong leaders don't assassinate their opponents. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices.
So what does this make you?
Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices. Truly strong leaders don't use police and military to oppress people's voices.
I don't want to talk to you. Not a word. Out of this property. Immediately out. I don't care what you have to say. Out. Out. Out of this property, you Nazis. Out. Out. Gestapo is not allowed here. Immediately, Gestapo is not allowed. Out. Do you understand English? Get out of this property. Go. So go. Go. And don't come back without a warrant. Out, Nazi. Out. Out. You understand? Nazis are not welcome here. Out. And don't come back without a warrant.
All right. Well, Divine Lions, Lionesses, welcome back to the Sovereign Soul Show. I'm your host, Brad Wozni. You know, I've had my little stint in the Canadian Light Infantry, wildfire fighter, hopping out of helicopters in Ontario, the Yukon, fighting wildfires. And, you know, we stand for love, levity, and liberty, because that's what it is all about. They fear the truth. The demons fear the truth. And it's all about saving the children and the generations forward. And I'm delighted to have back on the show, kind of still as a free man, Pastor Archer Pavlowski, who he and his lovely wife have returned from Mar-a-Lago last week, which was amazing to see the photos. We'll go to it and talk about the Catholics for Trump, the prayers for Trump, so we can have love, levity, and liberty after all of this. Archer, welcome back, good sir. God bless you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me back on your show. And, you know, as I'm listening to you, I'm thinking to myself, my God, the villains, they hate good people. They hate anyone that is a decent, patriotic, God-loving, human-loving person. It's like, truly, for the past few years, it's in our faces that this whole thing is simply evil versus good. I mean, there is no other way to describe what we are seeing. The best of the best are being treated the worst by the globalists, and the worst of the worst, the pedophiles, the groomers, the psychopathic, you know, crazy people are being elevated by the globalists to the positions of influence and power. Everything is upside down. And that reminds me of the scripture that says there will come a time when they will call evil good and good evil. So anyone that actually has some gray cells left can see this clearly, that this is a fulfillment of that word that God gave us. So it's crazy times.
It's crazy times. And just last night, I was watching Noah, Russell Crowe, Jennifer Connelly, and that was the first time I've seen this version, the renewed version of Noah, and really is describing exactly right now. I mean, you were literally, as we were doing the solidarity movement of the 1 billion March for Children in September, we're watching all people come together, but also still you had the Calgary police, you know, wearing their pronouns and their whatnot and still want to push people. And they've made it a crime to speak from the Bible in Canada. And now they're bringing it out, 2 years, $500,000 jail sentence, imprisonment. If you say, I love oil, and they're about to bring out, and looks like they're going to, lifetime imprisonment if you disagree with any member of the Caligula right now. So this is the time of Noah. Absolutely.
Going to, you know, back to the police, as you described, that they are having on their uniforms all this craziness. I remember many years ago when I was challenging the illegal implementation of the bylaws, for example, giving free goods and services, feeding the poor, that according to the Canadian government is a crime, distribution of printed material, gospel tracts, Bibles, it's a crime, you know, nonsense from the pit of hell. I remember challenging the police and they said, what do you think about this? You're being sent here to hurt a ministry. People that are saving lives. I mean, you are an officer of the law. You know the law, at least you're supposed to know the law. There is the highest law of the land, the Criminal Code of Canada, and the Constitution, which has the Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And in the preamble of that charter, it states clearly, whereas Canada acknowledges the supremacy of God and the rule of law. So, officer, what do you think about this? And I remember hundreds of times when I was challenging them through the years, their response was always identical. We are not allowed to take sides. We have to be neutral. We cannot, you know, tell you what we feel or what we think about this. We are just here to enforce the law, blah, 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 blah. And then as the time was moving, I started to see the same officers wearing a perversion on the uniforms. So where is your neutral stand while you pick and choose? And then a shocker last year, if that was not good enough to have perversion on their uniforms, they started to forward the agenda of green energy, the green cars and all this garbage, again, from the pit of hell on their uniforms. So you see, they are very selective what they are forwarding. They're not neutral anymore. They're not standing, you know, for the law and order. They have become the agents of the tyrannical government. They are the brown shirts or the black shirts, whatever, you know, totalitarian regime you want to choose of Mussolini and Adolf Hitler. There is a similarity of what we are observing that we can see it clearly from history. And that's why, as you remember, when they were doing this illegal attack on our liberties, on our rights, fundamentally guaranteed rights, I call them by their proper pronouns, if you will, Nazi Gestapo. Yes. And I was highly criticized at the very beginning of use of my language, but now everyone and anyone that actually has eyes open calls them the same thing, because I told the people we are in the early stages of 1930. And if we will not come together, then 37, 38, 39 will happen, and we are going to find ourselves in the middle of another worldwide war. So now more and more people are understanding and seeing what I was trying to tell them those few years before. So it's sad. It's very sad that that those people have lost their conscience, they have lost their souls, they're monsters. Yesterday, and on a regular basis, we are being targeted by the city hall. To this day, yesterday, officers came and they took pictures, and I will be getting another ticket. So I get tickets almost every week from the city hall. And again, my crime is feeding the homeless people. That's my crime. And I got, I don't know how many tickets now. I usually say 340, 350, but every week, almost every week, I get another ticket from the city of Calgary for doing my horrible deeds of feeding the most vulnerable people on the streets of Calgary. Those are sick, sick to the core individuals. I went to the officers and I challenged them. I said, what's wrong with you? Do you even have a heart? You are punishing the ministry that saves human beings. What's wrong with you? I cannot understand how evil you have to become to do this job. It's just, they're no longer acting like humans. They're acting like monsters.
I personally believe part of them are no longer human. You know, when we look at what they put in the vaccine, I didn't plan we go down this road. When we look what they put in the vaccine, which has come to light, the transport genesis, anybody who has taken the vaccine is now owned under the patents in the U.S. Patent Trademark Office by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and so many others, Pfizer, J&J, Acuitas. It even goes and looks like it goes right back to University of British Columbia as well. And from that, you know, we know there's the archons which are allowed to be slipped in. One of our previous shows you attended with Bishop Jim O'Connor, who's now performed 21 successful exorcisms as a bishop in the Christian Orthodox Church, the original one Christ started, has literally said that, yes, this is a way for the demons to come into the body and to take them over and cast out the soul. So this has been a spiritual war for the souls and a warfare at every level. And this is where I see that too. I mean, it's amazing to look at, not in a good way, but amazing to look at CFB Borden, ATC Meaford, the places where I did my infantry battle school training. They now have tampons in the men's washrooms, but if you're in the woman's washroom, they charge you. This is Canadian Armed Forces. And in addition to that, where we also are right now with medical assistance and death pervasive throughout Canada, you would probably not get a fine, Pastor Pavlovsky, if you gave out free cocaine, meth, or weed, right? And then offered injections in concert with medical professionals at Alberta Health Services, they would probably applaud you. In fact, I bet they would probably open up and allow and advertise with city budget for you to do so. Yet 100%. On the other side, right? They've sided with Satan. They've sided
100%.
With Satan.
100%. Everything that is evil is being promoted, advertised, and paid by the administration. It's insanity at the highest level, and it's pure evil. The mayor with the so-called councillors, the traitors, just announced another tax hike, 8.5% or something like this, a little bit less than 10%. People already are struggling, and are you ready for this? They are trying to bring a fun tax. I'm not kidding you. They are contemplating to tax Calgarians with a fun tax. So if you go somewhere, I don't know what they're thinking. If you go to a movie, a cinema, then you will be paying extra tax because you're having fun. If you go to, I don't know, a swimming pool, that's considered a fun. There will be a special tax. Those people are insane. And I just don't know what else to say or do to wake Canadians up, because as you know, I have been warning Canadians and the Westerners as a whole for the past 19 years now, since 2005, when the Canadian authorities came to attack us, and the attacks still continues. I'm going to release the video of my interaction with the officers and then my few words to the mayor. I think I will have to start staging massive protests against those people, because, you know, every week I get a ticket for feeding the poor. Instead of getting a tax breaks, instead of getting a support from the government, I'm getting harassment and tickets after tickets. And I think this is also a retaliation for me filing probably one of the biggest lawsuits in the history of Canada. Because as you remember, we're not going just after the government, we're going after individuals, we're suing different agencies, but also we're going after different individuals. Here is a good news, or kind of a strange news, if you will. On a Saturday, I just learned that the director that ordered to put me in solitary confinement, metal cages, stripped naked, and all those different things that was done to me, Fader, resigned. And it's quite interesting because he resigned right after a visitation from our lawyers. My lawyers went in January to the remand center here in Calgary asking for documents of my stay. So everything portraying to me being kidnapped over there and put in all those different crazy places, my lawyers were asking, of course, for the trial. A few days after that, this director, Fader, resigned. So I think they're thinking, which is a wrong line of thinking, that just because they're not in a capacity of power, now they are off the hook. They don't understand the process. I'm going after them personally. I'm suing them personally. It's a civil action, and I want them to testify at the trial. So, and that's why they are so scared. That's why the mainstream media is not telling you about this lawsuit, because we are alleging conspiracy to commit crime.
Yeah. And, you know, and I appreciate you sharing that as well. For anybody who doesn't know in the audience, you know, Pastor Pavlovsky is tip of the spear in terms of truth, like Trump as in the United States, where he was arrested. The big notice that came to the European and the worldview, Arthur, was your case when you were arrested after a 19-minute peaceful sermon delivered at Coots, Alberta border crossing during the Freedom Convoy just a little over 2 years ago. And then they threw you into solitary confinement. They made sure you were not recorded anywhere on ledger, your name. And when you went into 45 days of solitary confinement, as you've said many, many times, the guards were bribing the inmates at this max pod to murder you as you were freezing cold, denied the basic needs of human comfort, and only by virtue of a medical check that randomly goes every 2 weeks by doctors and nurses into these prisons, they discovered you and said, who is this man laying here? We don't have him on a list. So this is where we are. And by the way, Arthur was also charged with domestic terrorism, the first ever in Alberta, for giving that 19-minute sermon. And after our last show, just about a month ago, I had three shows, yourself, Norman Traversy, and Kevin Johnston, right? And there's a religious fatwa, a hit, an open, wide public hit to murder him in the province of Ontario. So he's had to run his mayor campaign for the city of Mississauga from Costa Rica, so he's not extradited back and to be murdered. After that week of shows, all of a sudden I got an alert from Royal Bank of Canada, and I called in and I said, what's going on here? I can see my funds. They're frozen. They said, oh, we have a court order which says that you owe the British Columbia government and Ministry of Finance. I said, well, what court order? I don't have a court order. What's the name of it? Where is it registered? They said, actually, we don't see it. We just see a note on the account. 24 hours later, the next day on Wednesday, I got an alert, banking alert. The account was emptied and they've levied a fine against it. Plus they're hitting me with NSF fees. So not only do they debank you as they've done in the Freedom Convoy, but they also come after you personally if they see you speaking for truth. And to your point, I'm going after them personally as well. So we have, you know, the Premier of BC and the Ministry of Finance and the agents who orchestrate this because it's an organized crime, RICO. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's just money. The end of the day, what we're here for, like the times of Noah, the spiritual battle is to save humanity. And those who are demons, they can either redeem themselves or we have to leave it up to God. But it doesn't mean anybody who's watching this broadcast or listening to this podcast, this is not a time to be complacent. You know, as Arthur, you have said, you know, you cannot ride the fence. You have to pick your side. And if you're on the bad side and you're finally awake to this now, God can redeem and go to the side of light, love, and goodness and truth. What would you say to those people? And what was the message in Mar-a-Lago when you were there last week with your lovely wife and roughly 1,000 at Mar-a-Lago, Jim Caviezel among them?
Yeah, so I was invited by the Catholics to come, and it's quite interesting because they told me that they really, really want me there to speak as a guest speaker to bring some fire under the butts of the priests and the bishops, because of course we have been betrayed by the leaders in our denominations, either Protestant or Catholic. So cowardness everywhere, a lack of boldness, standing for the truth has not been seen globally. So now people are rising up within those denominations and are demanding that their leaders, their priests, and their pastors will actually stand for what they preach every week. So I was invited to deliver a message. And yeah, it was absolutely beautiful to be there. Mar-a-Lago is one of the most gorgeous places on earth, I would say. And especially when you are coming from Calgary, Alberta. I mean, think about it. We have snow and it's minus, I think it was minus 8 or 10 when we arrived. And in Palm Beach, it was, beautiful weather and the palms and the water. It's unbelievable. So I went there with my wife, and as you can see, it's absolutely beautiful place and gourmet food. And we were invited to hang around and to speak there. And I delivered a message to the people, not just to the Catholics. This message is to all of those that value freedom and want to remain freedom, to be free, not just for ourselves, but for our children. So here's what I said. I said, if you want freedom, you must bring back God of freedom, that America is not going to be free unless we come back to God. I said in a closing statement, I said, ladies and gentlemen, let's not just make America great again. Let's make America blessed again. Let's make America godly again.
Godly.
We must bring sanity, freedom, and truth, love back into our society. What is happening right now? The globalists are doing everything in their power to deprive us from humanity. They are turning all of us against each other. And of course, I was criticized for going there by different people. Why would you even go to a place like this? Well, I will go wherever I'm invited, because when I show up, I do my best to preach the truth. And in my Bible, maybe they're reading a different Bible, but in my Bible, it says the truth will set the captives free. I had multiple people coming to me thanking. Actually, it was quite humbling because people would come to me, and they're big names, huge names. And they said, when they watched my struggle, when they watched me kicking those Nazis out of the church, get out, when they saw me being arrested, they got boldness and courage. Some people came to me and they said they started to be active when they saw me doing what I was doing. I was privileged to spend some time with Tim Ballard, and he was the man that Jim Caviezel portrayed in Sound of Freedom. It was incredible. He came to me and he said, "You're my hero. Thank you for doing this." And those are big names, and those are people that rescued thousands upon thousands of children. And of course, I was able to spend a couple of days with Jim Caviezel, and he said the same thing. He said, "Pastor, I love you and I thank you for what you did." It's quite amazing that those people are watching, those people are acknowledging our struggle, and they are getting courage when they see us standing tall. So Jim recorded a video for me. I'm going to publish this video this week as well. I was a little bit upset. I was supposed to do it today, but yesterday we were attacked by the city hall, and that really made me upset, because I'm telling you, I know this may be a little bit of a shocker to some people because they see me fighting and yelling and screaming. Well, that's the only thing I really have is my voice. And the way I'm fighting is I'm trying to expose the evil, and I raise my voice because I don't fight with weapons, swords and guns and bullets. So that robs people, some people, in the wrong way. But yesterday, when they came again, taking pictures of our license plates and what we're doing, like our crime again, you got to remember the crime is saving lives, feeding people that the city of Calgary refuses to feed. And for that crime, I'm going to get another ticket. So I did run to the officers. They were, of course, cowardly, hiding on the other side of the street. I went to them and I said, what's wrong with you people? Like, why would you attack a ministry that saves lives? I don't get it. I don't understand. Don't you have a conscience, a soul, a heart? And you know what they did? They ran away. They literally were running away and they hid themselves in a, inside City Hall. That's how pathetic those human beings, those monsters of today are. So I'll publish the video, the words that Jim gave to our church this week. And I'm going to post more pictures from the events. I've met some incredible, amazing human beings, fighters, lovers, patriots. Of course, Roger Stone was there. There was General Michael Flynn was there. It was Pasovitz was there. Daily Wire people were there. You know, some amazing people that have done big things and they have huge followings, and they would come to me thanking me for my stand. I will publish my speech, my entire speech. And I was very humbled because they just kept standing and clapping. And I had to ask them to, okay, it's, you know, so it resonates with people. I guess courage, boldness, doing the right thing resonates with people. And that's what we need more, not less. We need courageous men and women to rise up, stand up, and fight. And there are all kinds of ways of fighting. You were trained as a soldier. Maybe, I hope not, but maybe there will come a time when we will need soldiers to defend us. Maybe, hopefully not. Hopefully we will remain in this fight the way it is now, just exposing the evil, the lie, and bring the truth. You know, so some people like yourself were trained, you know, how to fight physically and take down the aggressors. My way at this moment is to show up and to do my best to tell the people the truth, to inspire them to be courageous themselves, because we need to multiply ourselves. We need to multiply the courage. We need to multiply the truth. We need to multiply the boldness. Also, I was reminded by God to tell American people, and this is a message for everyone, but especially for the American people, is to tell that great American eagle that it's time for that eagle to flap its wings again. It's time for action. Words are awesome when you preach the truth, but words, the deeds have to follow the words. We must organize. We must come together. We must do rallies. We must do protests. We have to come together in unity. And I say to the people all the time, sometimes we will have to unite with people that normally under different circumstances we would not unite because they, you know, belong to a different social club. But during the war, when you're in the trenches, it doesn't matter if the next guy next to you shooting the Germans is French or Irish or English or Polish or whatever. The next man that is shooting at the right direction is your friend. It's your family at that moment. Enough of the division. Enough of, I don't like him because he's a Catholic. I don't like him because he's a Protestant. I don't like this guy because he's an atheist. At this moment, when we are fighting for our very lives, if you are not against me, you are for me. So as long as we can forward the idea of freedom, I'm okay to march with anyone that wants me to remain free. Because in the end of the day, you got to remember, our God is God of freedom. He is allowing us to choose him freely. He's not forcing us. He's not twisting our arms. He's not saying, you know, with a pistol, love me or else. That doesn't work. Yeah. Love doesn't work that way. He's giving you a choice, Satan or God, evil or good.
Right.
And you must choose. That's why I love my God so much, because he left me with that choice. I love him because I chose to love him, because he's such a good God. He died for me on the cross. He rose from the grave. And he says, Art, I love you. I love you just because you are. Not what you did, not what you're going to do, just because you are. And that's love that we cannot really fully understand. So if you want me to be free, I'm willing to march with you. And that's why I was humbled that I was invited to different events. I was also in Ohio at the big, huge conference. Over 1,000 people showed up over there. Again, Catholics organized this, and I was a speaker there. And the same reaction, people would come to me and thank me for the stand. And I met some incredible human beings. Then we were in California. I preached in Tennessee at an amazing church called the Patriot Church with an American flag on top. It was awesome. Awesome people, great pastor. And I spent a few days over there. I preached in another church and then a few churches. And then we went to California and we delivered a message at the music festival, and then we went to Florida to be with the people in Mar-a-Lago. So we must keep plowing, and I will be doing as much as I can to bring the truth to the masses in any capacity that God will allow me. When he opens the door and I feel that he wants me to walk through the door, I will.
Amen to that. And what I would also add to it is, you know, they ran away from you because you walk with the Lord. And that's amazing. When you look at, you have Jesus within you, we express our creator from within us in our DNA outwardly. And that veritas, that truth is what they hide from. And they are doing everything they can on the side of evil to kind of relinquish that. What we're seeing now with the American Constitution, that is a constitution and a republic, which I believe that whether it's Canada or, you know, Australia, as Ricardo has said, he's got his own red hat, says make Australia godly again. And so why cannot the territories of all peoples around the earth just unite for freedom, peace, and love? It's actually that simple. And you make a great point of it. Whether it's the guy in the trench beside you, you don't care if he came from France or Poland, he's shooting at the Nazis who are trying to take you out. That's your friend. That's your brother right there. That's a great metaphor for what we all need to do and band together to just have that freedom, which then means we also, and we may require overt, proper, good military presence, because we have seen those at the federal level and the municipal and also the provincial, state, territorial levels of the policy enforcement officers, the majority of them are not. They're on the side of Satan. And when they say that they are just following orders, like those who took you, those who took the Coots War, those who continue to take the Canadian Freedom Convoy, those who still have not received their money back, whether that was stolen, which affects their livelihoods, or were cut off of disability or unemployment or welfare, their livelihood, all of those individual men and women must be held to account for justice so this never happens again. And we do require, and I'm not advocating violence, but we do require those who will stand on a front line to protect the women and the children, bottom line. And men, this is what we are designed to do. A divine masculine is to be out front, and Arthur is the utmost perfect example in Canada, in my mind. Norman, who I've had on the show, in my mind there, as well as the Commander-in-Chief Trump and others, to stand on the front line and make sure that you speak truth so you can take down tyranny and evil so people have that freedom as we move forward. And from this standpoint, everything I can do from where I'm currently located and bouncing around right now because of what they've done, I'll continue to speak out because they don't like that regardless, right? Just voicing truth. But the thing is, ladies and gentlemen, and Arthur, you probably saw this in Mar-a-Lago. The commander-in-chief delivered a speech just 2 weeks ago that said we're at 82% of a global awakening. And this is the real key, is we keep upgrading that consciousness and getting it out there, ladies and gentlemen, which includes, you know, sharing Archer's message, following him and his son Nathaniel on their social media accounts, listening. And I'm not commanding anybody to share, but at the very least, be open-minded and listen to the messages these men of God are sharing with you from what they've been through, as well as getting it out there. Because it's almost like now we have it. Those who are the most oppressed are a perfect example of those who are speaking truth. And people should just kind of by default go that way and move forward. I'm curious, not only with the lawsuit, but with the solidarity movement in Canada, how do you see that going right now? Where Norman just, you know, called right before the show and said, I was just assaulted by Ottawa police officer. He named him Sergeant Brennan. By when I went into Ottawa courthouse to deliver Nuremberg Code notice that they have violated Nuremberg Code, the judge and the detective, and they've also violated Section 4 of the Criminal Code of Canada, interfering with an investigation, which leads to the deaths of infants in this case. And now he's been assaulted. Where do you see the solidarity movement of Canada going over the next few months? What inklings do you have, sir?
Well, I'll tell you where I am at this moment. Unfortunately, and it's a sad thing, but I did my best to reason with the Canadians, and I failed. I would say at this moment, I have failed. And here is my take on the political realm in Canada right now. They are looking at the Conservative Party, and they think they are their saviors. And the same thing happened in Alberta. When we gave the Albertans an opportunity to vote those people out, the very people that arrested us, the very people that destroyed our economy, the very people that are hostile to our children and their future, well, Albertans elected them back in office last May.
Yeah.
So that showed me that Canadians are not ready yet for good people. They just want a repetition, revolving door. They're comfortable with the devil that they know. And they are afraid of a bigger evil or bigger devil. And they have settled for voting for the lesser of two evils. They don't understand the concept that all of those evil people should be thrown out. Some of them charged with crimes against humanity. And they don't see that yet. Now, Pierre Poilievre is their new savior. Their eyes are focused on that. He has huge following. And the Canadians are not seeing the danger that that very organization did absolutely nothing to save us and our children. Actually, they participated in this genocide. They're still participating in this genocide. Yes. It's just the same evil. It's a evil, though, that is taking us to the slaughterhouse a little bit slower, slower pace. But nevertheless, they're leading us to the same slaughterhouse. They don't see that yet. So what I've decided to do, instead of, you know, yelling and screaming from the rooftop alone, I decided to wait. So Solidarity Movement is on hold. I'm waiting to see what is going to unfold. I need the Canadians to see that all those parties, and I'm talking about the Liberal Nazis, the NDP Socialist Communists, and Conservatives, the traitors, to us Canadians, I need them to see what I was trying to tell them. Their eyes are not open yet. In a big, on a big scale, they really think that the Premier of Alberta is the best ever, even though she did almost nothing except, you know, few trinkets here and there. We are still in a worse position than we were a year ago, 2 years ago. It's the same garbage. We're losing money. People are being destroyed. They're losing houses. So nothing changed. We're still hurting, and we will be hurting because they are the same coin of the same beast. It's just a different side. So if it comes to the federal election, I think I have to wait for the people to hurt a little bit more. And I know this sounds cruel and this sounds not very loving, but I have to wait for the people to really, really hurt, to notice good people. It looks like they are not noticing who is for them. They think that if we get rid of Justin Trudeau, Castro, Caligula, and some other dude is going to replace him, then we've won. or now life is good, we will go back to our normal lives. And my friends, it's not going to happen. Fiat currency is collapsing, economy is collapsing, and those people are leading us to the slaughterhouse.
Yeah.
Just a little bit slower. So I decided with my family and our church, okay, we need to focus on getting ourselves strong for what's coming. Difficulties are coming. People are struggling financially. We need to be strong when that happens. I was told by a few of my very powerful and knowledgeable friends in economy, economical system, that this will be worse than Great Depression. That this what's coming is going to be worse than the Great Depression. So I need to be ready when that happens. And I want our church to be ready. I need to have our storehouse filled and ready. I need the war chest to be ready. And by the way, if your viewers would like to help us with this, the trial, the lawsuit will cost over $1 million. And we need help with that. So if you can chip in, I mean, one man cannot do it. One family cannot do it. One little church cannot do it. Together, we can take down the beast. And at this moment, we're not talking about civil war. We're not talking about any war. We're talking about using the sword of Goliath, if you will, the court system, to take them down. And Fader, the director of the Riemann Center in Calgary, is a perfect example how scared they are. Like, what are the chances that my lawyers go to the Riemann to get the information about my stay there, and then just a few days after, he quits, he resigns? They know what they have done. My friends, they know what they did to us. They know. They're not ignorant. They know they broke the law. They know that they have murdered innocent people. And they are running now. They don't want to be accountable. So if you want to make them accountable, please help us out. StreetChurch.ca. Go to the legal fight. There are information how you can give. And if you're afraid of giving because of the government, send us crypto. We are receiving crypto. And there is a crypto information over there. No one will ever know. It will go to the wallet. And then we will use it accordingly to the needs of this trial. So there are ways that the government will not have to know that you contributed to anything if you are scared of that. So the fight continues. And if it comes to solidarity movement, I have decided, okay, I have to wait a little bit longer. I have to wait for the people to truly see what's going on. Because you got to remember, I am a little bit like a forerunner or a seer that sees things years in advance. You got to remember, right. I have been warning Canadians in the middle of the greatest boom Alberta has ever seen. Money was flowing like a river. This was an energy hub. American headquarters were in Calgary. It was crazy. The money was literally being thrown left and right. And God spoke to me to warn them. And he said, tell them, because of their arrogance and the way they are treating people with all this huge amounts of money, they have lost their sanity and humanity, difficulties are coming. And I was laughed at. I was absolutely laughed at. I was called names and false prophets. And right now, all those things that I was warning Canadians about are in our face. It's in front of us. You can see it. Totalitarian regime is already here. So it's very difficult to be a person that sees things in advance while other people do not see them. So I have been doing my best to tell Canadians conservatives are not good. If they were good, they would be with the people during the convoy. They would be with the people during our greatest struggle, but they chose not to. That tells you everything you need to know about those people. They're not for you. They're cowards. At best, I would say they are traitors to the conservative movement. But they are not seeing this. They are not capable of seeing this yet. So I have to wait.
Yep.
I'm not stopping. I'm just getting ready for what's coming. I'm trying my best to build an infrastructure around what's coming, that when this happens, we will be not only protected, but we will be ready to help the multitudes. I remember people would come to me and said, I've seen a vision of your lineups so big that we could not see the end of it. That's what's coming. And I need to be ready to feed those multitudes. I need to be ready to afford to feed those, because you got to remember the government hates me. Those officials, representatives of the people, in quote, they hate the poor. They hate the homeless. They hate Christianity. Okay. They hate anyone that is good. They love evil. They love perverts. They love pedophiles. They're protecting pedophiles, but they hate anyone that preaches the truth. So I cannot count on their support when this happens. I have to have an infrastructure set up in such a way that when this happens, I will be able to keep feeding and saving lives, and not just with hundreds or thousands, but with multitudes, because that's how bad it is. We have in our lineups already families that are not homeless. They're just so poor, they cannot afford food. This is crazy. We're not talking about homelessness anymore. We are talking about poverty in Canada, in Calgary, and the government hates us for it. He hates us for exposing what is really happening.
And what I'd like to do is, I've got this one here for everybody, because I've spoken about the fact that you just have to look at who's either doing versus those who aren't. And that's it. That just tells you all. Yeah. And here is a flashback to Poilievre's wife going back to the lockdowns 2021. Said, "We are in this together. Here are some ways you can help during the world pandemic." I'm reading directly from her post. Hashtag stay the fuck home. That's her right there. In addition to that, we have it that the Poilievre is personally profited by setting up the businesses to bring in the PPE, right? With the masks that have formaldehyde and filaments and other things on it, which, guess what, everybody? What do you do if you are an embalmer? If you have to put somebody in a funeral parlor in an open casket, use formaldehyde, right? We've all been through biology class. And let's also recall that Arthur is speaking to you not as a man who's just went through this in Canada, but as a man where he and his brother David grew up behind the Iron Curtain in Poland under Soviet Nazi communism. And it was, he said many times on this show and as well for years, said it was over when 38 million Poles stood up, 50,000 Soviets relented. And here we are just recently, as of a few days ago, every member of parliament in Canada stood up and applauded. This is all there for this Waffen SS Nazi officer, which the reason, part of the reason I got to Canada was because the Waffen SS went to my grandmother's village in Ukraine and my grandfather's village in Poland and wiped everybody out. And they were fortunate to flee just prior to the Blitzkrieg from the same Waffen SS troop. And then they got on a boat to the UK and they got over to Canada and Halifax, Nova Scotia. And they said, "You're Polish, you're Ukrainian. What are you? Farmers." And they gave them land in Saskatchewan and got on a train. And that was it. So that's how the Waznis got over here, because of this very Nazi SS officer who is applauded by every member of parliament. But Canadians and other people don't want to hear it because they just say, "I'm hurting. I can't afford my rent or my homes right now." And Arthur, as you've shared, and I'm coming up on 3 years in the show, you know, I went to Wilfrid Laurier University. I was brought in to be in the honors economics program, the indoctrination, right? And did economics and American political science, you know, and it was brutal because I couldn't stand math, but because I didn't get into F-18 RMC to fly F-18s because my vision wasn't perfectly 20/20, even though I got like number 5 slot to go, but I couldn't pass the vision exam, which hence got me to the Canadian Army. I learned about the economics there and the boom, bust, and echo and the effects. And I've been sharing on the show, you don't have to have an economics background. You just have to have grade 5 math or better to see that there's more that's in debt than there is financial backing for it. And in 2016, the Canadian Bank of Canada sold all of Canada's gold. And the guy who headed up the bank said, we don't need it. It's an old antiquity. Actual quote from his article. Yep. And so but you got Canadians are going to get hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered.
But, you know, you need to understand when we're talking about economy that they're doing this on purpose. You must understand that what is being done is done on purpose by the traitors to the Canadian people. And it's a global thing because they are creating two categories of people, extremely powerful, the elites that will have everything and you will own nothing. And they are telling you. So what we are observing right now is all of those politicians in power right now, all those parties are forwarding that globalistic agenda that you will own nothing because they will own everything. And yet we are seeing it being implemented in front of our very eyes and so many people are not seeing it. That's what baffles me. So you don't have to be an economist to understand that if you keep borrowing and you have nothing to leverage this with, you keep doing it, sooner or later, you will file for bankruptcy. Canada is bankrupt. US is bankrupt. A global economy is bankrupt, and it's being done on purpose. So they would be able to come and do whatever they want. And I have to wait until people are hurting enough to start to understand a man like me and a man like you. So brace yourself, my friends. And help us to keep fighting, because when we go down, if the enemy would manage to take people like us down, we are your shield. If we are no longer there, you're next. And I always say to the people, it's in your best interest. You don't have to like us. This is not a popularity contest. This is not about, you know, I like this man or I don't like this man. This is about a time of war. You don't call for a lawyer. You don't call for a teacher. You call for a warrior, for a fighter. When we are being attacked, you don't call for the guy at the grocery store. You call for a fighter, for someone that can defend you. And that's how I see Donald Trump. And there's so much criticism against Donald Trump because they don't understand the season we are in. Winston Churchill. I see very similar things with Donald Trump and Winston Churchill. He was not a very likable person for many. And, you know, with his drinking problems and cigar and just saying things that others would not say. And yet he was a perfect man for such a time as this. I truly believe that if Winston Churchill was not there, the swastika would end up at the parliament in England. And it was his determination, his stubbornness as a human being that kept pushing the Nazi agenda. And Donald Trump is not a perfect man, far from it. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. And those that are watching us are not perfect. But we are in war. We are in a time of war. Yes, the bullets maybe are not flying as, you know, as many as during the normal war. However, people are dying. I hear about assassinations on a regular basis now. People that are preaching the truth, speaking the truth, suddenly die here and there. And you see this clearly, that those are assassination plots. So we are in war. They hate you. And I think of Donald Trump as not a person that is running for a popularity contest. I see him as a soldier that is strong enough, tough enough, that can bring the wall. Even if we talk about the wall, the sanity or the insanity of illegal invasion that the United States and Canada has. I mean, you know, the guy wants to protect borders. What's wrong with that? And yet he's hated for it by those psychopaths, the demoncrats, as I call them. So Donald Trump, I think, is capable to fight this war. He's strong enough, tough enough, experienced enough to push the agenda. So that's why, you know, I'm not looking for a savior. I'm not looking for Jesus in a politician because they are no different than me. They're just people. They will make crazy mistakes. I make crazy mistakes. I'm not perfect. I do my best, but I do my best. And I love Canada. I love this country. I want people to be blessed, not cursed. I want my children to have something when I'm gone. And that's a good thing. And Donald Trump is the same, wired the same way. And I can relate to that, man, because I was a businessman before. I tasted a little bit of riches, and I was, you know, being able to see cool things and travel. And I understand economy. I understand that there are certain things, tough decisions that you have to make to survive tough times. And he's not a professional politician. He is not politically correct. And that's why I like him. I like him because he says the things that cowards refuse to say. We have a pollution of cowardness. Those are not only traitors, they're cowards. They're like rats. They will not tell you what's really going on. They are manipulators. They are deceivers. That's what we have. When Christine Anderson came to visit Canada, one of the greatest heroes during the lockdowns, in my opinion, that articulated what was in our hearts, you know, about Trudeau, Castro, Caligula. It was Pierre that threw her under the bus, calling
That's
her.
Right.
And people forget that. Like, why would he do that if he was not part of the global system? Christine Anderson stands against the globalistic agenda. And instead of receiving support from the so-called conservative party, was attacked. She was attacked viciously and called names. That tells you everything you need to know. Those are the young leaders of Schwab. They are the WEF operative. Yep. They're forwarding their agenda and they're fooling people. They're fooling people. And, you know, this is the thing that I have a hard time reason with in my own head, or why they don't see that. Why people are so easily manipulated? Why? Why can't you just put 1 + 1 + 1 and, you know, come to the same conclusion? But they're not. They're not. So we have to wait at this moment and see what is going to happen. And I know what is going to happen. It's going to be hard for many Canadians. And through this, from the ashes, I guess, we're going to rebuild it from the ashes.
Yeah, it's written, the meek will inherit the earth. And I appreciate you saying and letting everybody know for the preparation for the times that are coming ahead as we wrap up here. And I've been saying since the beginning, you know, actually the first or the second show that I did, Archer, was preparedness. Have 6 months worth of food, 6 months worth of water. These are the things you can get. Simple stuff, iodine tablets. This is where you go find water. This is to barter trade. Make sure you have silver or gold or precious metals, because at a point in time very soon, the Canadian loonie is not going to be accepted, right? Because the fiat currency, as well as make sure you have basic first aid standpoints. You have all of these prepared. And I'll go back as a beautiful throwback to my grandparents who are no longer with me again, you know, from the farm in Saskatchewan that they built, and they built the church there in North Balfour themselves. They always had stores. So I remember always visiting grandma and grandpa, and they would always have stores in the basement because they've lived through those times. You yourself in the 70s and 80s grew up in those times of bread lines. And we see the bread lines coming to a point in time where it's literally apocalyptic. If people sit there and are complacent, and the definition of complacency is it kills. Complacency kills. Yeah, if you're riding the fence, you're on the fence with the devil. You're not on the side of light, which is action. And our creator, think about the word, ladies and gentlemen, creates. It doesn't say God, our creator, sits on his ass and does nothing. No, he creates. He doesn't just step back and watch a show getting out there for a ride. So thank you so much for what you do, Pastor Pavlovsky. I'd love for you to end this in a prayer with us for a sermon. And then, you know, please let me know when you have all those. I still follow your channels, but with everybody I have on the shows, I do my best every week or so to check in. But if there's something you'd like me to share right away, please let me know. Happy to do it. Support you however I can.
Yeah, so probably today or tomorrow I'm going to publish two videos about what the authorities are doing to us. I was very upset. I was very angry. Why this harassment continues? People are hurting, and instead of the government applauding people like us, they are hurting us. It's so evil. I just want to end with this. Yesterday, someone came to me and said, in Ontario, lettuce is $7. And this is just the beginning. I mean, $7 for a lettuce. This is crazy. And I want you to know, maybe this is a shocker to you or will be a shocker to you. And you might say, Arda Balowski is crazy. But there is no such a thing as inflation. Inflation is a man-made corruption. That's what it is. I'll prove it to you by the silver or gold. The same amount of a precious metal 1,000 years ago would buy you the same thing that the same amount of precious metal would buy you today. All of those fiat craziness that we're seeing, the prices rising, it's corruption. The people in power are so corrupted. They are throwing people left and right. They are inflating our economy on purpose. And that's why you see more prices at the grocery stores. You see more price tag at the gas station because they are making this. It's their greed, the corruption that is making us hurting. So the sooner you realize that your enemy is the very people that you taught is supposed to help you, and you pay their salaries, and they are giving themselves a raise every year. They're giving themselves a raise, and then every year they are raising taxes, and you have less, and they have more. That should tell you everything. When I was running for office, I said to the people, I refuse to take salary. I'm not doing this for money. I am a pastor. I will not stop being a pastor. I'm perfectly content with all what I receive as a pastor. I don't need taxpayers' money. And and yet people want the greedy devils. They want corrupted, lying, manipulating deceivers. So until that stops, until God opens the people's eyes and they will see what we see, there is very little we can do but to keep preaching, keep praying, and that's what I want. I'm going to do. So, Father God, I pray for the people's eyes to be open. We have done our best for years to preach the truth and to reason with the people, but unless you open their eyes and their ears so they can hear, so they can see what's really going on around them, there is very little we can do. So I ask, Father God, for your divine intervention. I ask, Father God, for your Holy Spirit. Come and let them know what is really going on. Open their hearts, their minds, their souls. Open their ears and their eyes so they can see what the Spirit of the living God is saying to the people around the world right now. I pray that they would turn themselves and give themselves to the living God, the loving, the kind, the merciful, the one that died and rose from the grave, but also the one that is coming back. Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead, and justice will be served. My friends, I want you to know, sooner or later, justice will be served, and every man, every woman, ever lived will pay for the evil they have done. Naked you came, naked you will stand before the judge of judges, as I call him. God is judge of judges. He does not take any bribes. He is not scared by corruption or blackmail. You cannot blackmail him. I'm telling you, every man will pay for the own deeds, for the own words. So bless you. Stay strong. Don't give up. God is God of hope, and we need to give that hope to the rest of the people. So be hopeful. Stay on the right side. Don't go to the devil. Don't go to Egypt. Stay with kingdom that cannot be moved, cannot be shaken, the kingdom of the living God. So be blessed. And Brad, thank you again for having me on your show.
Pastor Arthur, it's an absolute honor. Thank you for that lovely prayer. And I will also end it with this, as I forgot to bring this up during the show. In preparation last week, I reached out to cross-border immigration attorneys, one in Canada, one in the United States. They both specialize in asylum. bringing people to Canada, but also has cross-border access to the U.S. And the one in the U.S., Asylum to bring people to America, but also does a lot of work with Canadians. And I spoke to both of them and I said, based on what has been going on in Canada, does Asylum fit for any Canadians where you have the Caligula, the medical assistance death, the Freedom Convoy, locked up bank accounts, the chasing people, the political persecution, prisoners, you being one, Coots for so many others, 200 plus in Canada now, Kevin Johnston with a fatwa on his head, both of them who don't know each other, I was speaking to them at separate times the same day, said no. The definition of asylum, U.S. authorities do not recognize Canada as a threat where people have to fear political persecution or their lives. Therefore, applying for asylum in the United States of America Corporation right now is not available for Canadians. And the one in the U.S., Archer, said in California, he said, I wouldn't even risk my license as a lawyer to attempt for anybody in Canada to come to the United States to help them apply for asylum. And his words, I have it here from the recording, because it's Canada. So the fact is, you need to get with God, dear souls, if anybody is watching, and come together, as Arthur has been sharing. And you can support him, even with love, prayer, at streetchurch.ca. Pastor Arthur, it is an absolute blessing and an honor. Thank you so much for what you and your family do for the world, for humanity, and for freedom. God bless you, and thank you all.
God bless you.
Hey, you divine lions and lionesses, you amazing sovereign souls. Look at this. Powerful, affordable X39 patches help regenerate your stem cells. These were developed for Navy SEALs. Burns up to 500 calories, acts like a wearable med bed on your body. So you get to wear your natural wellness daily. Order X39 now at catchthelifewave.com. There's Monday to Friday phone support, so you can go there. There's Zooms, and there's a 100% 90-day money-back guarantee at catchthelifewave.com. The X39, there is nothing else like it. Help activate stem cells, reverse aging, and rejuvenate your life at catchthelifewave.com. Thanks for joining us on the program, ladies and gentlemen. Please like, follow, subscribe, share this with 9 friends and family. And of course, if you enjoy our blinged Buddha firing red pills from his 9mm, let us know.